Well, good morning. Thank you for being here this morning. If you will, take your Bibles and open up to Isaiah chapter 6. We're going to read some verses here in a moment. Feelings in religion tend to swing to two different extremes. One extreme is simply that of indifference, very little feeling. And the other extreme is being governed by nothing but feelings. Too many times people rely on their feelings to guide them in the ways that God wants us to go. We've probably all heard someone say, well, I feel that God wants me to do this or that. And then again, there's those who simply have no feelings at all. They could really care less, one way or the other, what God's word proclaims. In Matthew chapter 15, in verses 8 and 9, we read this. This people draw nigh unto me with their mouth, and honoreth me with their lips, but their heart is far from me. But in vain do they worship me, teaching for doctrines the commandments of men. Now, if you notice here, it says here that the people are drawing nigh with their mouth. You know, they're saying the right things. They're honoring the, you know, with their lips. They're saying the ritual words that they're required to say. But their heart is far from me. You know, many times in our lives today as Christians, we come together and worship. Be it our minds are not focused. We're worried about the lunch that we have in the oven, perhaps. Is it going to burn? Or is the restaurant going to be crowded? You know, many times when we come to worship, we're thinking about so many different things that basically we're drawing nigh to God with our mouth. We're singing praises. A brother stands up and leads us in a prayer, and we're thinking about, am I going to have enough gas next week to drive to work? What about paying the bills? We're not focusing on the prayer. This people draw nigh unto me with their mouth and honoreth me with their lips, but their heart is far from me. Faith without feelings is dead. And he goes on, but in vain do they worship me, teaching for doctrines the commandments of men. It what makes them feel good. It's not what's pleasing to God, but what's pleasing to me. So this morning, the aim of this lesson is to stress the importance of feelings in the Christian religion. Because in fact, faith without feelings is dead. Open your Bibles again to Isaiah chapter 6. I'm going to read verses 1 through 5. In the year that King Uzziah died, I saw also the Lord sitting upon the throne high and lifted up, and his train filled the temple. Above it stood the seraphims. Each one had six wings. With twain he covered his face, and with twain he covered his feet, and with twain he did fly. And one cried unto another and said, Holy, holy, holy is the Lord of hosts. The whole earth is full of his glory. And the post of the door moved at the voice of him that cried, and the house was filled with smoke. Then said I, Woe is me, for I am undone, because I am a man of unclean lips, and I dwell in the midst of a people of unclean lips, and my eyes have seen the King, the Lord of hosts. Israel had described the scene and proclaimed that his eyes had seen the King, the Lord of hosts. And particularly, look at verse 5. Then said I, Woe is me, for I am undone. Do you think that Isaiah had some feelings here? Do you truly understand what Isaiah is feeling at this moment? Then said I, Woe is me, for I am undone, because I am a man of unclean lips. Isaiah knew that he should not be seeing these things. Because he was, basically what he's saying here, a sinner. And I dwell in the midst of a people of unclean lips, for mine eyes have seen the King, the Lord of hosts. Isaiah described the scene here and proclaimed that his eyes have seen the King, the Lord of hosts, and he was undone. Do you get the feeling of what Isaiah was going through? We should consider several things here. We should consider the words of God, shouldn't we? We all realize that. We should consider the words of God. Psalm 19, verses 7 through 11. This is going to be a long read on the screens here. The law of the Lord is perfect, converting the soul. The testimony of the Lord is sure, making wise the simple. The statutes of the Lord are right, rejoicing the heart. The commandments of the Lord is pure, enlightening the eyes. The fear of the Lord is clean, enduring forever. The judgments of the Lord are true and righteous altogether. More to be desired are they than gold, yea, than much fine gold, sweeter also than honey to the and the honeycomb. Moreover, by them is thy servant warned, and his keeping of them there is great reward. Now, let's go all the way back up here. Psalms 19, verses 7 through 11. What do we read here? Let's just kind of chop this up a little bit. The law of the Lord is what? Perfect. The law of the Lord is perfect, converting the soul. The testimony of the Lord is what? Is sure. The testimony of the Lord is sure, making wise the simple. All right, so here we have the law of the Lord is perfect. We have the testimony of the Lord is sure. And number three, the statutes of the Lord are right. The commandments of the Lord is pure. The fear of the Lord is clean. And the judgments of the Lord are true and righteous. We have six things here. Do we not understand that the Word of God is of great value, as it says here? It's to be desired more than fine gold. Again, I'm not trying to harp on this, but listen. The law of the Lord is perfect. The testimony of the Lord is sure. The statutes of the Lord are right. The commandments of the Lord is pure. The fear of the Lord is clean. The judgments of the Lord are true and righteous. Do we not understand that God's word is of great value? Isaiah, in Isaiah chapter 6, verses 1 through 8, Isaiah was awestruck. I am undone. We also need to understand truly that the works of God are great. Not only his words, but his works. Look, if you will, at Psalms 145 and verse 10. All thy works shall praise thee, O Lord, and thy saints shall bless thee. All of God's works are great. You know, along with Psalms 19, verses 7 through 11, about all of the great value of the Word of God, we can also see that God's works is of great value. And then we can see that the ways of God is of great value also. Psalms 145 and verse 7, the Lord is righteous in all his ways and holy in all of his works. And then we read in Psalms 145 and verse 3, great is the Lord and greatly to be praised, and his greatness is unsearchable, literally incomprehensible. And his greatness is incomprehensible. You know, we see a little bit of his greatness, don't we? He created everything. Wouldn't you see that as being great? He created man. He created woman. He created all the plants and the animals, the fish and the birds. Do we not see the greatness of our God? And that his greatness truly to our physical human brain is unsearchable, incomprehensible. The greatness of God. The words of God are of great value. The works of God are of great value also. And he's holy in all of his ways and in all of his works. He's unsearchable, incomprehensible. We should feel like Isaiah felt. I'm undone. Isaiah was full of awe because he's seen the King, the Lord of hosts. Do we not see him also in the Word? When we read and when we study, do we not see the greatness of God? Look at Isaiah chapter 6, verses 5 through 7. Here Isaiah felt that he was literally unworthy. Isaiah chapter 6, starting in verse 5. Then said I, woe is me, for I am undone, because I am a man of unclean lips, and I dwell in the midst of a people of unclean lips. For mine eyes have seen the King, the Lord of hosts. Then flew one of the Sephirims unto me, having a live coal in his hand, which he had taken with the tongs from off the altar. And he laid it upon my mouth and said, lo, this hath touched thy lips, and thy iniquities is taken away, and thy sins purged. Do we feel unworthy? Isaiah felt totally unworthy because he was a man of unclean lips, of a people of unclean lips. He recognized that he was not worthy to be in the presence of the King, the Lord of hosts. I believe that sometimes we must feel our unworthiness. You know why? You know why I believe that we should feel unworthy? Because the feeling of unworthiness brings about and motivates us into repentance. When we truly feel unworthy because of the sins in our lives, when we truly understand that we are a people of unclean lips, sinful, when we truly feel unworthy, then I believe that it will motivate us to repentance. Paul writes in 2 Corinthians chapter 7, verse 10, "For godly sorrow worketh repentance to salvation, not to be repented of." For godly sorrow, feeling unworthy, worketh repentance to salvation, not to be repented of. But then he goes on, he says, "But the sorrow of the world worketh death." You know, there have probably been many people over the course of history who have become a Christian, but for some reason, they start feeling sorry that they're missing out on all of the worldly stuff that they once participated in. It says here that if we do that, if we start regretting our lives as Christians, then it says that the world worketh death. But notice, for godly sorrow, feeling unworthy, worketh repentance to salvation, not to be repented of. We should rejoice in the fact that we have forgiveness of our sins. Because of our unworthiness, we feel the need to repent and to seek God's forgiveness. And then we can read in Matthew chapter 5 and verse 3, "Blessed are the poor in spirit, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven." Now, the word there, poor, literally powerless, helpless, unworthy. Blessed are the unworthy in spirit. They feel their unworthiness, just as Isaiah felt his unworthiness. You know, some people are so proud that they cannot feel the need to repent. Once upon a time, a mayor in New York City made this statement: "I am telling you, if there is a God, when I get to heaven, I'm not stopping to be interviewed. I am heading straight in. I have earned my place in heaven. It's not even close." Do you think that mayor felt any unworthiness? Do you believe that mayor truly seen his life as sinful? Or because of who he is, God is going to accept him, and he's not even going to wait for the judgment. He's just going to barge right in. If that's our attitude, if we stop feeling unworthy, then we stop our repentance. This mayor did not feel unworthy in his life. But it doesn't stop there. A president of these United States, he made a statement one time: "Why do I have to repent or ask for forgiveness if I'm not making mistakes?" Well, first of all, that was his first mistake, if nothing else, thinking that he was perfect. You can Google these if you want to. Now, of course, the president said, well, you know, that was taken out of context, and I didn't really mean it. It was a joke. Well, come on now. Isaiah felt awestruck. Do we feel awestruck in the presence of our Father? Do we feel awestruck in truly understanding how great His words are, how great His works are, and how great His ways are? Do we feel that awesomeness of who He is? Do we feel, as Isaiah, being unworthy, that we are people of unclean lips? In other words, sinful. And Isaiah felt like he was indebted. Isaiah chapter 6 and verse 8. Also I heard the voice of the Lord saying, whom shall I send and whom will go for us? Then said I, here am I, send me. Isaiah, because of being awestruck, because of feeling unworthy and having his sins removed, he felt indebted. And when the Lord said, who shall I send? He spoke up and says, here am I, send me. Do we feel indebted? Look at what Christ did on the cross for each and every one of us. He died. He shed his blood. You know, it's not simply just the cross, but look at all the scourgings and the cursings and the spitting and the slappings, the beatings. Having that crown of thorns placed on his head. Do we feel indebted for that sacrifice? Having been cleansed as Isaiah was cleansed, having had our sins forgiven, how can we turn around and say no to God? How can we say, no, Lord, I can't go. It's not me. How can we refuse obedience for all that He's done? Yes, you know, I understand that death happened so long ago that we simply perhaps don't understand what actually took place. Yeah, we read about it, but we cannot fathom the horribleness of what took place. If we did, then I believe that, like Isaiah, we would feel very much indebted for what was done on our behalf. 2 Corinthians chapter 6, verses 19 through 20. What? Know you not that your body is a temple of the Holy Ghost which is in you, which you have of God, and ye are not your own? When we became Christians, when we have had our sins washed away in baptism, we ceased to be our own. From that time on, we belong to God. And then we can read in verse 17, for ye are bought with a price, therefore, what? Therefore, glorify God in your body and in your spirit, which are God's. If we truly feel indebted, then we will glorify God in our bodies. That means that we will live as faithful as we possibly can in the world. Psalms 116 and verse 12. For what shall I render unto the Lord for all his benefits toward me? Brothers and sisters, I think this is a very important question. David writes here, what shall I render? What shall I give unto the Lord for all of his benefits towards me? What can I give to God for everything that he's done to me? Well, what did we learn in 1 Corinthians 16, verses 19 through 20? Know you not that your body is the temple of the Holy Ghost, which is in you, which you have of God, and you're not your own, for you were bought with a price. Therefore, glorify God in your body and in your spirit, which are God's. And what shall I render unto the Lord who for all of his benefits towards me? To give ourselves fully, physically, spiritually, mentally, to God. You think that's right? Is that what we should do? You know, if you look at the word benefits, there's literally the idea of accomplishments. Look at all that God has accomplished for us. Think of all the things that God has done, not only to save mankind, but to save me. And many times we forget that concept. Yeah, we know that God, that Jesus died on the cross for the sins of the world, but we tend to forget that he died for me as an individual. Each and every one of us, Christ died for. The lesson is yours. Without feeling awe, there's no praise. Without feeling unworthy, there will be no repentance. And without feeling indebted, there will be no service. So how's your faith? Is it without feeling? That's an important question, and each of us needs to answer it. This morning, if you're here and you're not a Christian, we're commanded to be baptized, to have our sins washed away. If you would like to be baptized this morning, would you come? Or if you're here and already a child of God, perhaps see in your life that you need the help of the saints, the prayers of the saints, for whatever reason, would you come? So we stand and sing the song of invitation.
Jesus and love is